You're listening to SBS News.
Coronavirus has been dominating the news for much of the year, with the first case in Australia recorded in January. But Australians still have many questions about the transmission, tracing and treatment of the virus. One of those is whether you can become infected through cigarette smoke. Philip Rousseau is Associate Professor and Director of Cabrini Monash University Department of Nursing Research. He says it's unlikely anyone would contract COVID-19 by simply walking past someone who's smoking.
We need to keep in mind that this is an infection that's spread by the droplet route, so those who have close contact with people with the infection are at high risk of getting it. It's not generally thought to be distributed through the air and floating around in the air. If you were to share a cigarette with somebody, certainly that would be one way of spreading the virus. And if you were to share a cigarette lighter.
To help reduce transmission of the virus, Victorians must now wear face masks whenever they leave the house, unless they qualify for an exemption. The New South Wales government is also strongly recommending people wear a mask when it's hard to maintain 1.5 metres of physical distance from someone, when in areas with community transmission, when caring for vulnerable people, and when working or travelling in a high-risk setting. But Associate Professor Rousseau says regardless of whether someone is wearing a mask or not, maintaining social distancing should take precedence.
The second most important thing we can do is hand hygiene. So we need to be really vigilant in making sure that we wash our hands frequently and thoroughly. If you're in the supermarket and you do happen to be bunched up with people or anywhere where there's lots of people, then a mask will just add that little bit extra protection. But it's important to keep in mind that the most important intervention is that physical distancing. So outside of Victoria, where there's still very low prevalence of infection, I don't see a big need for masks.
One of the exceptions in Victoria to wearing a mask is for people doing any exercise or physical activity where they're out of breath or puffing, such as running, jogging or cycling. While some may be concerned that a person exhaling heavily as they run past them on the street could pass the coronavirus onto them, Associate Professor Rousseau says the risk is very low.
You're at highest risk if you're in an enclosed space, like a small room, and in close contact with somebody with the virus. The mask will help prevent broad dissemination of droplets, so that's one way that could prevent it, but that physical distance is the most important. If we're thinking about outdoor areas, and the risk is greatly reduced because you're outdoors and air currents are likely to take any droplets away from you.
With a large proportion of Australians staying at home, there's been a significant increase in online shopping. But do we need to be wiping down every package we get? Associate Professor Rousseau says while it's not necessary, it is a useful precaution.
The virus, how long it lives on surfaces, it's on a bit of a spectrum. It depends on the temperature. It depends if it's in a big droplet of mucus or if it's in a drier surface area. It's going to depend on all those factors. So it could last for 5 minutes, could last for a few hours. So there's no harm in wiping down those packages, but more importantly, you should be washing your hands after handling any of those packages.
Along with maintaining social distancing and hand hygiene, Australians were urged for months to download the federal government's COVID Safe app. It was touted as a vital tool in helping to combat the spread of the virus by ensuring that everyone who came into contact with an infected person could be traced. But has it actually done its job? No one diagnosed with the virus in Queensland or South Australia so far had downloaded the app, while the lack of community transmission in Western Australia means it also hasn't been much use there. Victorian Deputy Chief Health Officer Professor Alan Cheng says it hasn't provided any new information to authorities there either.
We wouldn't really expect to find a contact that through the app because, you know, at the moment we're either at work or at home, and the contacts are known to us. And so I understand that where it has been used, it's generally picked up people that have already been detected by the contact tracers.
But Commonwealth Deputy Chief Medical Officer Nick Coatsworth says it has been of some use in New South Wales.
The app is clearly having an important effect. I mean, it not only did it identify some unknown contacts, 544 of them in fact, it actually identified an entire exposure event at one particular club in New South Wales that wouldn't have otherwise been found.
For those who do unfortunately contract coronavirus, the treatment they require will differ based on the severity of their illness. Peter Walk is a conjoint professor with the University of Newcastle School of Medicine and Public Health and a senior staff specialist at John Hunter Hospital. He says while most cases of COVID-19 are mild enough to be managed at home, between 5 and 15% of infected people will require hospitalisation.
Most of our care, in fact, is supportive. We provide oxygen, we help people when they're feeling very unwell, we help them with fever and symptoms, but we're not directly treating the virus. The exception to that is the use of the immunosuppressive agent, dexamethasone, for people who are severe enough to be admitted to hospital and require assistance with oxygen. They will derive a benefit in terms of length of stay and the severity of their illness by receiving treatment.
Professor Walk says as many as 1 in 5 people receiving treatment in hospital for COVID-19 will require admission to intensive care.
For those, that might mean treatment with what we call non-invasive respiratory support, the use of equipment to help additionally to help with low levels of oxygen. And unfortunately, a number of people have very severe impairment requiring what we call invasive ventilatory support with intubation and ventilation.
He says patients who survive those circumstances will often have significant damage to their lungs and extensive periods of weakness, requiring intensive rehabilitation.
With anybody admitted because of severe respiratory disease to intensive care, it's often a very prolonged hospitalisation and a very prolonged time to recovery with problems that go well past 12 months.
Professor Walk says even those with a mild case of the virus can suffer from long-term health effects, with a large proportion of people with COVID-19 experiencing a persistence of symptoms, such as body aches and fatigue.
Social media is now fairly replete with individuals describing persistence of symptoms, some unfortunately in excess of 60 days. They call themselves long haulers, where they have the persistence of these symptoms and recurrence of these symptoms outside of the impact of direct acute infection as well. This is obviously an area that people are going to be very, very interested in, and unfortunately, We're learning as we're going here. When we're talking about people who've had symptoms in excess of 60 days, how long that will last, what proportion of individuals, who is at risk, all of these are really important questions for, at the moment, we just don't know.
You can keep up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Amy Hall, SBS News.